Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Servant of God that meets us in works. When you speak to a Calvinist and you even mention any kind of works, they draw up on you. They draw back on you. They think that you're insulting the labors of Jesus Christ at Calvary, like you feel like you've got to do something to have salvation. And they've got an element of truth in their doctrines, but then yet they go too far with it and they don't have any labors. As a rule, their labors are very lax. We can get into predestination doctrine and talk about Jesus saving us before the world ever was, and we could speak of those things and be accurate and correct and right. You know, we're saved by faith, not by works that no man could boast. That's Bible, that's Word, and it's absolutely correct. And then oftentimes we say we got to go line upon line, precept upon precept. Sometimes we have to expound on some of the things, because we could take a scripture, we could take one scripture and make a theology out of it or a denomination out of it and totally separate ourselves. And dealing with people across denominational realms, sometimes we just rend the veil between what we would say full gospel, or people that believe in the gifts of God and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and these gifts and healings and these things. And then you take another sect of Protestant people and you say, well, they don't really believe in the gifts today and they don't really talk about them or pray or expect, you know. And then you rend the veil there, you know, between some of these kind of denominations. But then yet when you get into Pentecostalism, I could say for an expression, man, there's as many flavors in that. And sometimes the doctrinal differences or the customs or the convictions, we may say, you know, if you've heard the story, one rebuked me and said, there ain't going to be no preacher preaching my church because his wife's got a necklace on. And he said, necklaces are for dogs. You know, that could have been very insulting. But you know, that was his convictions. And I could find fault with him, but I could say, well, I failed. I could easily say, well, I failed him because of, you know, if it offends him, you know, to wear a necklace, I shouldn't do it. And, you know, if it even meat offends my brother, and you all know I like meat. But if it's an offensive, then there'd be times that I should have enough restraints to refrain myself from being partakers of maybe eating meat or whatever, if it's going to offend somebody. I know this is a common thought or expectation of you, I could say. And we as Christians, and we have to learn to look. One of the Pentecostal ministers that I'm dealing with right now, he's from that kind of a background. They don't allow a blade ever to touch a woman's hair. And a lot of them would have nothing to do with me because my wife's got bangs. That's right there. Immediate, I'm in error. You know, and I've talked to her about it, and she chooses to cut her bangs, which is okay. I am not going to line up with their doctrine, brethren, because I understand the word. I understand what the glory is. I understand the hair. I understand it in a revelational sense. And I am not going to go to the means, but sometimes we can try to line up with them. I'm not going to grow my wife's hair down to her ankles. I think it's a reproach. I think it brings too much attention to the woman, and it goes into another problem, another complication, a woman to be shamefaced, and they could be projecting. You got a woman with her hair down to her knees, it's projecting. You know, you can say whatever you want. I'm talking about my convictions. Like Brother Chuck made a statement the other day. He said, what about, you know, when it offends us? How come it's always like, you know, if we're offending them, but what about when they're offending us? And maybe some of their doctrines could be offensive to us. You know, I'm talking with one that have no jewelry, no watches, no nothing. Been speaking with him and talked to him. I said, well, I wear a wedding ring. Well, we don't do that. And you say, well, I don't think we should be crossing T's and dotting I's on these things. We're soul winners, brethren. And if we're counseling and teaching and leading people into the kingdom, yeah, I don't think we're going to find one man in damnation because he has a wedding ring on or a watch on or a necklace on. Okay, but I do know that those things are very significant to mind. And we talk about the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. And when you see somebody with rings on every finger and jewelry around themselves and earrings and nose piercing, it's a projection thing. So now we know there's a problem. So it's not the jewelry, it's going to be the spirit. If the woman, again, is to be shamefaced and she's projecting herself, then there's a problem with the woman. You know, and this is why sometimes when we get into doctrines, makeup, most of the Pentecostals, not all of them now, there's a lot of modifications in 2015. Some say there's nothing wrong with makeup, but some of the people I deal with and walk with and fellowship with, when you put makeup on, you're automatically a Jezebel. You're a whore. That's automatic in their doctrine. Well, there has to be some grace with everything. You know, do I think every time I see a woman makeup, she's a whore? Absolutely not. Some of us understand doctrine. You know, a woman in pants. The pastor I sat under, he had grace. He had mercy. He would work with ladies in such a way. But I mean, he was very, I don't like to use the word dogmatic, but sometimes it applies. And he had no tolerance for it. And you know our customs and our convictions and our beliefs. It's an abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel. And here's where they go. They'll say things like this. And this isn't really where I'm going. So I'm just speaking to you. We're soul winners. We cross lines. If I am so rigid and regiment in my convictions that I can't reach across the line to bring somebody into the revelation, then I've missed God. Missed him bad. And we could just, you know, I've dealt with some Pentecostal friends that are preachers. And boy, some people would walk up and they'd size them up. I was sitting there with a man that had hair down on his shoulders and he was a biker and he was watching the brethren. And he seen something. He came to me and the guy's got tears in his eyes in a restaurant. And we're off out of state evangelizing and was with the other pastor from the other state. And this man's sitting at my table crying. He said, man, I've gave my life to the devil. He was a biker. He said, oh, I've gave my whole life to nothing but the devil. And tears coming down his eyes. And he said, I look at you guys and I see there's something about you. He saw light. He'd been in darkness. He said, man, I want to be part of something like you. And I said, hey, we got a local pastor right here. And he was sitting at another table with another pastor. And I said, come on. And I got up with him and I walked over to this pastor's table. I said, hey, I want to introduce you to this guy. And this guy looked at him, man, and sized him up and shook his hand and turned around and started talking right to the other one. Cut my spirit just like a knife. I'm thinking, here's a man pouring his heart out. But he looked at him, made analyze him. This is a stinking low-life biker. It cut me so bad because he could not look beyond this man to say, you know what, there's a soul there. That one that seems the most vile, the most wretched, the most filthy, the most perverted, the most ungodly could be the one that God could pull out. And that man will be thankful for God saving his soul. And that man will make an evangelist. That man will make a soul winner. You understand that? God's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try to be brief here. I got a few things in my spirit that I would possibly, if the Lord would allow, to share. When we start getting into theology, to doctrine, to traditions, there's a place in the Word where it spoke about, you know, to beware of the traditions of men. And there's other places that say that we can't depart nor leave the tradition of the elders. So, you know, there's always things that could almost seem like the Bible would be controversial, and it's really not. It's with revelation, it brings perfect revelation and understanding. Let me read here this passage of scriptures in John 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." That sounds real nice, Lord. You know, we could think about the Jews were blinded in part for mercy and for salvation. So we can see mercy in a statement like that. We do know that Jesus dealt with blind people on a continuous basis, that were looking at him, could see him. He said, "You're blind, and you're blind leaders of the blind." And he was very strong. A lot of times the ministry of the present day, they make Jesus, you know, just accepts everything. He loves everybody. He's merciful and kind. But we do serve a God that's a God of wrath. People sometimes will go to the thing about Jesus where he took this whip or scourge and he made one and he ran him out of the temple. I don't think those guys that were in the temple that day were sitting there talking about the mercy of this Jesus. Amen? I don't think they were. I was talking with Brother Chuck a little bit this morning. I found out the name of that cargo ship, and I'm going to get right into some doctrine here, but the name of that cargo ship is La Faro, which means lighthouse. They found a life preserver of it. It's the only thing they found so far. The ship might be somewhere out there. I don't know, but there's 33 people on it. The lighthouse with 33 people. You know what 33 have to do with a completion and a finishing? The name Joaquin and the name of the storm is Yeshua Lifted. And you think of Joaquin or Yeshua Lifted, and you think of the rapture lifted, the final thing, Joaquin, Yeshua lifting off this lighthouse, shows the end to this country, to the world. And you say, that don't mean nothing. Well, that's okay. It may not mean anything to you, but God speaks to us through allegories and things of such. 28 Americans on there. I think of the Lord's ministry started when he was about 28, 29 years old. And you think 5 years of grace right there. But here's these men, a whole boat was on its way to Puerto Rico. That's the port of the rich. That's where it was going. That's what the interpretation of Puerto Rico is. One of the first places that Columbus had come to, one of the establishments that was found over there, and this thing was on its way to there. They may find it, may be all right. I don't know, brother. The whole thing found a glory somewhere to show his mercy and to show his grace. But it's the Lord speaking, brother. He's speaking. We're in the final moments of time. They say, man, they've been saying that forever. Well, maybe it's my time, maybe it's your time. And we need to consider, need to think. But here we find a scripture, verse 39 again, it says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they might which see might be made blind." Let's go over to 12:37 now, John 12, a couple chapters up. I might back up to 35. Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed. He did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. I think of so many messages in different times where I spoke about when the Lord goes to Moses and he says to him, hey, I want you to go over there and free my people. And at the same time, he's given him a message, given him a commandment, a commission to go and free the people. He's over there hardening Pharaoh's heart and blinding his heart. Thinking, come on, Lord, why? You know, why are we fighting against ourselves, so to speak? And he has his way in so many things. And we don't understand in so many times of how God works and the mind of the Lord. The Jews being blinded in part is a merciful thing to them. But their eyes are coming open. We see the Jews right now, we're hearing of these rabbis being converted and starting to preach the gospel of salvation in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see things taking place in this world right now. Things that are taking place that are very significant to the day, the moment, the hour that we're truly in. Let me go on down here just for a moment, brethren. It says, then the thing said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him, nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. We can get into some real doctrine here. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken. Isn't that awesome? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Now, I know many of you know we got a track back here that I wrote to explain why a Christian should judge. We have to. That's not where I'm going this morning. We do know the doctrine that we have to judge. Sometimes we'll take the first part of doctrine like this where Jesus said he didn't come to judge or to condemn. But we're the sons of God, brethren. And the Bible teaches us clearly in the Bible that we judge all things. And it said the very least of you in the church teaches us not to take our judgment to the councils of this world. And it said the least in the church should be able to judge any of these matters. We could go and pull the scriptures up for you. I'm telling you the Bible. So you can judge any of these matters. And it went on to say that they will even judge the angels. Do you know that you're going to judge the angels? Come on now. We can get into some real doctrine here, can't we? Beware when you entertain strangers unawares. Because you may be entertaining angels. I was talking with a Pentecostal preacher here in just the last few days. Got into the conversation about angels. And had a different idea of what an angel is. I knock on somebody's door to bring the gospel, as Brother Gabe said this morning. Evangelism. I'm evangelizing him. I'm knocking on doors. Hey, let me share Jesus with you. I'm not interested in slamming the door. They just slammed the door. And you'll have troubles with this, right? But on the angel of the Lord. I can't believe that. Well, what spirit is living in you? Angel and spirit, they could switch. You know, the angel of the Lord is the Spirit of God. I've got the Holy Ghost in me. That's the angel of the Lord. That's the Spirit of my God. And it's living in me. It's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking. It's the angel of the Lord that's speaking forth. And you beware when you entertain strangers. I might be a stranger to you, but all of a sudden you might find that you're entertaining the angel of God. And you just close the door on your salvation. Come on now, people don't think that way. Well, you think too highly of yourself, Brother Rob. Absolutely not. I'm thinking highly of him and his word. People have a tendency of going to the negative side of the scriptures on a continuous basis. They'll take things like, well, the Bible says that he'll give his glory to no other. You know, and they must say that. And I say, I'm the glory of the Lord. And they say, man, you can't say that. But he says that. We are his glory. And he's given it to us. We're not another. We're the children of God. The sons of God. We're the light of this world. He teaches us that. But people have a tendency to take everything over to the negative natural side. Oh, I'm no good. I'm a sinner. Well, sure you are. You actually believe that, Brother Rob? When you were born and shapen in iniquity and you were in sin and appointed to death and corruption. But praise God for Jesus. He came and brought me hope. He brought me life. He brought me salvation. He done a work at Calvary for me. He had me on his mind, amen, when he was being nailed to the cross. He had me on his mind and he had something else on his mind and it was death and he abolished it. Death is done and gone. I am not going to confess death no longer because Jesus is the high priest of my profession. As a man, I confess death. But as a son of God, I profess life. You understand that? I profess life. And if I can't profess life, I'm saying his works weren't good enough for me. So I don't walk around poor mouthing my Savior and his labors. I say what he done at Calvary was finished and death was abolished. Sin is done away with. Sin's gone. I'm no longer a sinner. I was a sinner in my first birth, but I'm no longer a sinner. This simple doctrine, I understand that. But why do so many people hang up on it? It's amazing how people have a problem with professing what Jesus done for them. Well, I can't say that. You shouldn't say, you should shout it. I'm a son of God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I'm a son of God, glory be to Jesus. Well, it's not about you, Brother Rob. When I say I'm a son of God, it's not about him. I'm talking about my Heavenly Father and what he's done for me. I'm speaking about the Father. Where's he at? Well, when you see me, you see the Father. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Rob. That's what Jesus said. Well, if you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, if you are the body of the Lord. See, this is standard denominational teaching. Oh, we're the body of Christ. Well, what is his body? Is it part of him or not? You know? I mean, if I got my arm cut off in an accident, somebody carried up to you, oh, here's your pastor's arm. You know, I don't want it. Well, it's part of him, ain't it? We're the body of Christ. No, we're not cut off part. We're part of the body of Christ. We got to realize the importance of who we are. We are the mouthpiece of God, the eyes of God, the hands of God, the feet of God in the earth, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we could sit around and pray until we're blue in the face. Oh, God, save them. Oh, God, save them. No, I'm not mocking prayer. I'm going to say, do something with the prayer. Go and bring the gospel to them. But we're lazy. Oh, it's the preacher's job. Oh, it's the other brother's job. And we need to be testifying God. The love of God, the goodness of God. So many times we're so guilty, brethren, that we get out here and the first place we want to do is start going into doctrinal differences. Well, you're wrong. Oh, yeah. You know, if you want to make a friend, is that what you do when you go, if you're a single man and you're wanting a girlfriend? You go out and you're trying to meet her. You're going to be kind to her, aren't you? Hi, young lady. How are you today? You're looking nice. You're going to maybe even overlook some things because you're trying to make a friend. You're looking good when she's really ugly, you know, but you're so gorgeous. No, I mean, come on, you're going to use a little bit of wisdom. You know, the first time you meet, you say, here, let me give you a search. You got some bad breath. You know, you're not going to do that. But why is it when we're trying to win a soul that we go and say, you're wrong. You're Baptist. Praise God. Love them. Help them. Lead them. Direct them. Guide them. You say, I hear you preach, you're pretty rough on them. I'm rough on you because you intermingle with them when you don't need to be. When you have already been indoctrinated. So I preach rough. Brother Pike said, I preach like all my brethren are going to hell because I don't want none of them to. He said, my brethren are all right. We got to be careful, brethren. I remember Brother Pike speaking. We use the same terminology in times. Sometimes we've got to dim the lights. Now, if we want to really be a soul winner and we want to bring people into the kingdom of God, okay, then we start crossing some theological lines here. Okay, well, you know, I have this idea, you know, if I just get them to say this prayer and ask Jesus in their heart, they're okay. Let me see, I've seen people do that and really been convicted and make changes and really are saved. Well, you got Bible for it, Brother Rob. Yes, I do. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. But I also got Bible, the heart's continually wicked and deceitful, and a man don't know his heart. So how do you know that if your confession from your heart was good? Did you really believe in your heart? That's why they need counsel. That's why they need help. That's why they need discipleship. This is why they need to be led and they need to be taught. Gabriel said, the guy's texting him. Hey, man, I'm having a problem today. Man had an experience. I'm having a problem today. You know, I'm not ashamed to say, man, pray for me. Some of us get so puffed up, oh man, I'm spiritual, you know, I don't need nobody praying for me. I don't need no preacher talking to me. I don't need none because I'm the man. That's the way many people think. No humility in that. No humility in that. Some people think my transparency is weakness. My transparency is to help you look in the mirror and see your weakness. Amen. For you could draw the strength of God. But when you don't need God, you don't need His strength, you'll never get it. But when you know, say, oh, God, help me. Sometimes it's good to make mistakes. And you say, I don't believe I heard you say that. Well, let me tell you something. You walk in such a cloud, and then when you make a mistake, you might find that maybe I do need some humility. Amen. I shared this with you on more than one occasion, but it applies to you. When the little girl flipped her car over here and totaled her daddy's car out going to the Girl Scout camp over here. Wet roads like today, hydroplaned and spun out right out there. Sitting in the police car, getting a ticket, waiting on daddy to come. You know, I can imagine. Man, this is daddy's car. Man, I've rolled it and it's all smashed. It's totaled. This ain't good. I'm sure daddy was glad to see his little girl's going to be okay. But I walked up and I said, hey, young lady. I said, this is what makes good drivers. Boy, if anybody ever wanted to slap somebody, she did. She's sitting there crying, sitting in a sheriff car, getting a ticket, waiting on daddy to come. And some preacher walks up, hey, this is what makes good drivers. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's like, you ignorant thing. Maybe I'll be in the back seat of this sheriff car for beating up a preacher. But what I said was absolutely factual and truth. It's no longer just a textbook thing. Oh, hydroplaning. Now she's got a revelation. Hey, it's real. It make her a better driver. And sometimes when we make mistakes, fall makes us a better Christian. We see the mercy of God picking us up, giving us mercy and forgiveness and loving us in our weaknesses and our failures. And then He girds us up. And then we've learned something. Huh? Now, I'm talking on the abase side. I learned something. He's like, you know what? You're a punk, man. I'm sick of you. Pow! Okay, next time I'm not going to tell him that. I'm just going to hit him first. See, I learned something the hard-headed way. I'm talking on the ignorant side, yes. But you know, on the biblical side, we got to learn things too. This wasn't a good idea. Has anybody else ever learned anything from failure in this church besides Brother Rob? I seen a couple hands. Yeah. Yahoo! Yeah! Oh, man. You know, I wouldn't trade in any of my failures, brother. Number one, I found mercy. I found God. I found His compassion. And I found something that, you know what? I can't do this. Because sometimes, and it depends on where you're at in God, but sometimes your failures, you could see it affecting other lives and other people being hurt. And it tears you out of the frame to think that you've hurt people. Especially if that hurt could go so deep that they could lose their soul. That's a sad place to be. Maybe some of you have never been there. But it's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be because of your foolishness, and then the seriousness of the gospel comes for someone's soul, and you can't say nothing because of your ignorance or because you have no testimony before them. You see, I don't live a life of righteousness for my salvation. I live a life of righteousness for their salvation, for that when I speak, they could hear. But if I'm talking like them and acting like them and looking like them and dressing like them, I can't reach them. They say, you ain't no different than me. So I don't teach a doctrine of holiness for the women to be holy, for they could have salvation. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with others' salvation. If my wife was in short pants and a tank top on, I don't think this man, I've shared the story with you, the man came to me in Walmart. And he said, brother, I could tell by looking at your wife, your holiness people, I need prayer right now. But he saw something. She didn't look like the rest of the women. Oh, so that's why you believe in holiness? Well, that would be a good place to start believing. And why? But he said, I could tell, I perceive by the way your wife is dressed. You see, I could go through an Amish community, I could pick out an Amish because they dress differently. They're making a statement, hey, I got convictions. I'm all for them. I'm not against them. Yes, I drive a car. I got electricity. But I'm not going to go against their doctrine. That's a conviction of theirs. And if they got God in that conviction, man, praise the Lord. But you see, the thing is this life is short. We're here for a moment. Just a brief time. You see, we're all, even in the church, we're being pressed by the world. We're being pressed by the secular things. You know, let's get a big TV in the church for we can watch the ball game. Oh, we could use it for evangelism. Man, we can get, you know, I know John, man, he ain't going to come to church. But man, we put a big screen TV in there. He's going to come to church. No, that's not how we win souls. We've tainted the church. We can't help them when we do those things. It doesn't work. It never has worked. Well, I know of a case of this. Well, you may. But I'm talking about taking a step back and looking at the order of it. America church is gone. I'm sorry. You may not agree with that. Well, I know there's good things happening in this church. Yes, there is. But I'm stepping back and looking at it as a rule, as a whole. If the church of America ain't gone, then you explain to me why our government is. You explain to me then. If you can't agree with me telling me that the Church of the United States of America has failed, then you tell me why the school systems have failed, and they're taking down the boys and girls signs on bathrooms because they're going gender neutral. Why they're taking out of the school books anything to do with husband and wife or mommy and daddy. They're taking anything like that out because they're going neutral gender. Why we can't have In God We Trust in the courthouses or the Ten Commandments that everything was founded upon, and they're ripping off. You tell me the church hasn't failed. Judgment begins at the house of God. The church failed America. And that's why we see a failed America. And if we can't have enough humility to see that or understand that, we could blind ourselves and get in this old praise God, God loves everybody thing, and we could just be out there, you know, but it's wrong. We need to be careful. It's one thing to get people convicted. It's one thing to get them into a church. It's one thing to get them in and make a confession of faith. But there's another thing to indoctrinate them in the Word of God, not into Catholicism, not into this daughter of the whore Protestant move. Because now we're talking about getting people discipled in Christ. Hey, evangelism's fun. Go out there and share Jesus. Going over to other countries and preaching Jesus and the love of God and that He loves you and He wants to bring you. Man, that's great. Man, I'm enthused about those kind of things. But also, it's like having children. Oh, we're having a baby, but somewhere somebody's changing a diaper. Somebody's feeding them. Somebody's working to get the food for it. And somebody's disciplining it and teaching it and training it. It's a life. And you got to raise it up. Oh, yeah, but I got them to church and they said the sinner's prayer. Praise God. You just brought them into a war. It's like an army man leaving the recruiter's office. Woohoo! Man, I'm going to get to go see other countries. Man, I'm going to get to, man, I've never been over to this country. You know, and I get to do this and I get to do that. I'm going to get educated. And then one day you're in a foxhole and the bullets are flying over and you look over at the guy next to you, man, and blood running out of his face and he's dead. It's like, this ain't what the recruiter told me. There's some real to this. There's some action here. We're soldiers for Christ. We're in a war. And you know what, brethren? Guess what? We're going to see death. We're going to see souls that are lost. We're going to see people that we love fall away. And we got to gird up our loins and be men and soldiers for Christ. You've heard it a zillion times from this sacred desk. Soldiers keep themselves untainted from the world, unspotted from the world. We come out. When Gabe went into the boot camp. You know, bless God, man, I'm 18 years old. Ain't nobody tell me what time to go to bed. That didn't work too well, did it? Shut up, soldier. The lights are out. You're getting up at 4:00. I don't want to. You made me run before I get my breakfast. Make a man out of you. What are we doing here? We're supposed to be making men of God. Soldiers for Christ. People that are strong. And they believe what they believe. And they know how to take orders from the commanding officer. They break them down. They get them in there and break those things down. They make them submit. Make them learn. What do we do here? The same thing. Get out of your mind. Get out of your will. Get out of your wishes. Get out of your thoughts. Yeah, I can see the pretty boy with the little, with his hair like that. Nah, I don't want to see that barber. Man, I've been going to the stylist for 15 years. I want this kind of haircut. Yeah. Grab him by that ponytail. Like that. Yeah, looking good. See, we need to subject ourselves and submit ourselves to that. It's not my will, Lord God, but your will. Let your will be done. It's not my desire, Lord God. I want to walk in your desires. I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your servant. I want to give my life as a living sacrifice. That's my reasonable service. I know, Lord, but, and we haven't even done that. We want to pick and choose what we do and who we do it with. But God could reach down to the uttermost, huh? Reach all the way down and pull that old vile sinner out of the mire. And all of a sudden you see a change. That's encouraging. Man, this is what brings life. It makes us start thinking when we're in the battlefield next week and we're out there dealing with the same things, thinking, you know what? I'm going to endure this. Man, I see a soul. I see a son of God. I see that this is the man that God had on his mind. You never saw yourself being the one with the hammer in your hand, driving a nail through our Lord's hand. But until you come to that kind of an experience to know that you were the one, well, I wasn't alive then. Well, you better get in the Word. Because he said that either you were crucified with him on the cross of Calvary to be made a new creature. And if you wasn't crucified with him, you were the one that was crucifying. It's one or the other. I'm sorry to say. And you say, well, I just don't see that. Well, that's why we are here trying to get you to have eyes to see. That you can see good when good comes. That you could perceive and understand and not walk in the blindness. Amen? If I was going to expound on these scriptures, we say the Jews were made blind for mercy. For we, the Gentiles, could come in. But what happens when this is going out? As I speak about this Joaquin, Yeshua lifted. Yahweh lifted. That's what it is. So if he's lifting, and we are the light. We are the lighthouse, brethren. I could take you into the Bible and read that. We're the light of this world. Well, that's Jesus. But it speaks about us. When Jesus said, I and the Father are one, and the Father's within me, and I'm within the Father. When you see the Father, you've seen me. See, I could say the same thing. I and the Father are one. You say, you can't say that. I can't. He said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. We got the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. Me and Jesus have the same Father. Do you realize that? If I'm born again, we have the same Father. I'm born of the Spirit. So if I'm born of the Spirit, I'm born of God. And I have a Father in God. Now, if you want to talk about the new creature, or do you want to talk about the old man? The old man has a father too. Y'all know my dad. You see my dad. You see me. That's temporal. The things which are seen are, the Bible says, the things that we see are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So I have an unseen father. Jesus said the same thing. But Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. When you know me, you know the Father. Everything I do is by the Father. So can you say that, Brother Rob? Jesus said that about you. I can read it to you in the Scriptures. He told the Father, said, Father, glorify me. And then he glorified us. And he gave the glory to us. It's in the Bible, plain to see. But the church will cry about that. Oh, no, you can't say that. Sure we can. If the woman's hair is her glory and shows this in a typical sense, then what are we? We're the glory of the Lord. And everything we do glorifies the Father. If we're a son of God and we're walking in the Spirit, the things that we do magnify Him, bring glory to Him, bring honor to Him. If we're doing things in the flesh, in our own will and our own desires, and we're worldly and look worldly, and we're glorifying Satan. That's what he says in the Bible. It's clear, brethren. It's easy to see. I could get these scriptures out and we could take time and read them line upon line. We got to know who we are. We got to know what we are. We got to realize and take the responsibility and get out of our lukewarm prayer life. Oh, God, save them. I believe in prayer, brethren. Don't misunderstand me. You know, if your prayer life is, oh, God, save them. God bless my food. That's it. Oh, God, save them. God, save them. You need to be listening for instruction. If you're a soldier and you're asking a commanding officer for something, you're going to get some instruction. It's not a one-way prayer thing. Oh, yeah, okay, I feel better now. You know, it's like a soldier goes to an officer or somebody above him and say, look, man, I'm willing, man. I want to be the one. I'm volunteering. Man, I want to be the one. I want to be used. I want to be a good soldier. I want to progress. I want more ratings. I want to get higher ranks. I want to do this. And that's it. And you go on and leave. And you leave and you do that. Okay, I feel better now. I said all the right things. You know what's going to happen? That guy's going to say, okay, young man. Okay, soldier. And he's going to start appointing him. He's going to start giving him some responsibilities. The man's going to start proving himself. He's going to be being trained, and then he's going to get opportunity to show these things. What are we doing for God? The same thing. We pray and he says, okay, you want to be a soul winner? Come on, let's do it. How many of you have been sitting in a restaurant before and had the Lord speak to you? I want you to go talk to that guy right there. I don't know him. I've never seen him before. I don't know nothing about him. I've done that on numerous occasions. Been impressed by the Lord. Said, you need to go talk to that man. I went up and talked to a man one time and he started weeping right there at the table. I heard from the Lord. He said, you need to go talk to that man. He wasn't even from that area. He'd just come into that area. And then went on. I said, sir, I said, hey, my name's Rob. I said, I'm a youth pastor over here in this church. But I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come talk to you. I said, I don't know why, but how are you today? And the guy just started pouring his heart out. Ended up praying with him. I ended up going to his home and counseling and talking with him. He was trying to pull out of Hollywood. He'd been in the Hollywood scene. But I heard from God. I was sensitive. You see, when your prayer life is just, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this. You're dead. We've turned prayer into just, you know, we think that our Lord and Savior Jesus is a welfare system. I need, I need, I need. But you know, he doesn't work that way. He said, whatever you need, you give, and it'll be given back to you. You need forgiveness, give forgiveness. If you can't give forgiveness, you receive no forgiveness, that's what he said. If you seek after your own soul, he said, you'll lose that. But you seek after someone else's, and you'll find it. That's God's way. Salvation is that way. You're seeking after somebody else's salvation, you find yours. You're seeking to save another life, you find yours. The Bible said you seek after another man's prosperity, and you find yours. Or otherwise, it's all dung. It's all nothing. We got to learn God's ways, brethren. We got to learn his ways and what he is and who he is. Who are you? What are you doing? I'm in the army of the Lord. I'm going to volunteer for everything I can. I say, Lord, use my life. Spend me. Use me for your glory. Use me for your praise. Use me for your honor. Use me, Lord God, to win souls into the kingdom of God. And then listen. You know, if you feel like you've appeased him by saying what he wants to hear, he's not ignorant nor foolish. He's not swayed like you are. People will play you with compassion. The con man downtown ain't hungry at all, but he's going to come and try to find your compassion. Oh, brother, I'm hungry. Shut up, dude. If I thought you was hungry, I'd take and feed you, but just shut up. You're not hungry. You're a stinking con man. But that's the way God is, brethren. I'm sorry if you don't believe that. He knows a con, and you're conning him when you say, oh, God, I want to be a soul winner. I want to win souls in the kingdom. You know what? He's sitting there going, would you just shut up and dry it up? Why don't you get real with me? Show me. Show me you want to win souls. When you want to win souls, you're going to live right. Because if you're not living right, you don't have any virtue going forth from you when you speak. When you speak, your words are dry and they're dull and they're dead. Yeah, God could wink on your ignorance and show you some mercy and utilize you, but somewhere you're going to have to get pure and clean and holy and godly and get the ungodliness out. Because you're trying to talk to a man about Jesus and he's saying, well, look at your life, dude. How can you help me? You know, you're up begging for bread. Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. But you're begging for bread, and then you want to share Jesus with them? We had a group in the church not too long ago that way. Begging for bread all the time. Begging, begging, begging. Well, how can I glorify God being a beggar? I can't. That means I got to get begging out of my life. That means I got to get that ignorant thing off of me. You know, what is the ignorant thing in your life? We all got them. Oh, but I'm perfect. I am perfect. My Father in heaven made me perfect by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. But we stop there, man. What's the deal? If I'm going to sit here and just talk to you that I'm a son of God and I'm perfect and I'm hid away in Christ and I'm eternal, I'm living forever and I can't sin. That's great. This is what we talk about because we have that doctrine. This is revelation. But at the very same time, he said, take up your cross. What is that? I'm taking up Rob Koontz's mind and I'm going to get it out of the way. I'm going to get my ignorance out of the way. I'm going to get myself out of the way. That's what I'm supposed to do every day. Sometimes we forget to do that. Sometimes we find him being the preeminent one, huh? You see, I want to encourage you in the inner quickening spirit of Christ to know your strength and your power and your abilities and what he's given you and what he's granted unto you. An unction from the Holy One to know all things. But at the same time, I've got to expose the guy that keeps getting in the way. I got to expose Brother Rob Koontz. I got to expose Brother Peter Griffin. I got to expose Brother Bob Campbell. I got to expose Brother Dale Powell. You see, you got to get in that mind and say, wait a minute, I got to kill this dude out every day. We like to talk about, man, I got caught up the throne today, man. Praise God. Hallelujah, man. I've seen these glorious things. Glory be to Jesus. You know? But for some reason, our ears ain't tuned into saying, shut up, boy. Me? You talking to me? Oh, I'm sure everyone wants to hear what I got to say, sir. You know, there's a time to be quiet. And sometimes your silence can win them. I went through some training back in the 80s called lifestyle evangelism. And there's some truth in it. But if you stop with lifestyle evangelism, you're not worth the count. Because he does say, raise up your voice like a trumpet, preach the word. But if we don't have the lifestyle evangelism and we're preaching about something we're not doing, then words are dead and dull and we're reproaching God in his kingdom. Amen? My mother died when I was a child. She was on an operating table. My dad had a Pentecostal holiness preacher working for him as an aircraft mechanic. My dad was a filthy, perverted man. I don't know how long the guy stayed around. This was in 1966. But my mother went in for surgery and she died on the operating table. And this is her testimony. She said, I was falling in a dark black pit. And she said it was like a hole. And she goes, and I was looking up and I could see the light getting farther and farther and farther away. And it was getting darker and darker. She said, I was clawing and scratching and screaming. And she said she wanted to get back to her family. And she said she was clawing and fighting and screaming. It's the most tormenting thing ever. And then she said all of a sudden it's like she stopped and was coming back now. And when she came to, she was looking at the bright light in the surgery room. And they called this preacher. He went down to the hospital, this Pentecostal holiness preacher. And he had his hands on my mother praying for her. Amen. You know why? Because God looked down through time and he seen the labors of a son. You may not believe this. He saw the labors of Christ, but he saw the labors of a son, and he was saving a soul before I ever even knew him. You say, "Ah, you don't have no Bible for that." I most definitely do have Bible for that. And I could show you that. He said he prayed for me. Right there, he says it right there in John. I could take you. And he said he prayed for me, brethren. He prayed for me right then and all that God was going to send that were his. I was his. And he was praying for me before the world ever was and put my name in the book of life before the world ever was. And he saw my labors, amen. And he seen me bring my mother to the Lord, amen. And teach her and lead her. And he saved her from going into hell right then. That's where she was going. That's a powerful testimony. Old Pentecostal preacher. What is God doing in your life? Stand with me this morning. Brethren, take the responsibility of who you are. Sisters, take the responsibility. When you know that you got family on the way to hell, take the responsibility. Try to be a light. And sometimes in family situations, we are truly at a place that we can't say nothing. You're without honor there, but still live a life before them. Have convictions before them. You know, your family, if maybe you can't preach to them, but one thing you could do is show them things, righteousness, godliness. And remember, if you show them that church don't matter to you and it doesn't matter if you go or don't go and it's just you're just nonchalant about it, you're not a soul winner. You need to let them know, you know what, I love to go to church. It's important for me to be in church. Man, I go there and I'm with my brethren and the brothers. I love going to church. Amen. When church isn't important to you, you're not important to God. Right. I'm sorry. You're not important to him. You can cry all you want. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God. And he said, would you shut up and get real? God don't talk that way. He doesn't. So how about the man when his daddy died? The Lord said, come on, let's go. Come on, man, let's go. My daddy died. Let the dead bury the dead. Let's go. How many of us would take that kind of a rebuke? What's wrong with you, sir? My daddy died. I only got one daddy, and you want me to go with you right now? I got to get my daddy buried. Well, let the dead bury the dead. Come on, let's go win some souls. How many of you would have walked with him right then? Or the rich guy? You want me to sell everything to my granddaddy? And then my daddy, paraphrasing, everything that they worked and labored for and they handed down to me, you want me to sell all that and give it to the poor and come follow you? I believe if the man would have done that, he'd been the wealthiest man recorded in that Bible. But he didn't do it. And there'll be a day that he'll look at his wealth and it'll be the thing that judges him, the Bible says. The wealth of these unjust is going to be the thing to judge them on the day of judgment. One person could have a nice home, a nice car, and it glorifies God and testifies, I am a provider. I do take care of my own. They don't beg for bread. I'm taking care of them. But then another one could have the same identical car and the same identical house built by the same builder and the car made by the same maker, and his testifies against him in judgment that you sought after your own. You say, that makes him a respecter of person. You need to understand the Bible. You know, he's not a respecter of person. He respects his children. We're the sons of God, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. We're the sons of the Lord. We need to have a Joaquin experience, amen. And let Yahweh lift us up, amen. Let him lift us up. Lift us out of this world. Lift us out of the depressions. Lift us out of the old me syndromes. And say, man, praise God, I've been lifted up to glory. I've been raptured away, caught away with Christ, amen. He put my name down in the book of life, amen. I'm eternal in the heavens, hallelujah. I got life, hallelujah, amen. I've got light to take into a dark world. I want to share Jesus Christ with this lost, dying world. I want to be a light. Can that be your testimony? Is that your desire today? Come on, saints. Let's go get a cheeseburger. Let's go get something to eat. Well, if you're going to be getting something, tell somebody about Jesus while you're there. Look for an opportunity. They may reject you, but look for that opportunity. That's one thing I liked about Brother Marion. It didn't matter. Every time you got in a restaurant with him, he might cut up with him a second, but he's going to make a friend with him, and man, he's going to be sharing Jesus with him. The best way that he knew, he'd say, you know Jesus? He'd do it every time. Do you do that? Well, I think he cuts up too much. Well, at least he's getting Jesus, somebody. Well, he might ask for a cup of prune juice. We ain't got no prune juice, but then he's going to be saying, do you know Jesus? He does it every time. You got any poached penguin eggs in this restaurant? No, I don't think so. But do you know Jesus? Don't be afraid to have a personality. You know, don't be afraid to have, to smile at somebody. Some of the Pentecostals are so staunch. You know, it's like, you know Jesus? What they ought to do is look back at you. Do you? That's what they should say. I'm wondering if you do, my friend. You need Jesus. I go, what is he? And what if they ask you, what has he done for you? I don't know. What kind of Jesus is that, man? I like the song we were singing there at the beginning. You know, what has he done? Man, he's given me everything that pertaineth to life. Come on now. Do you have gratitude that you're his? Are you thanking him? Say, somebody praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You don't do that at the football game. Some monkey runs across the thing line and you jump and you shout and you scream. Can you just shout for Jesus? Hey, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. I've been born again. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My name is in the book of life. Hallelujah. I got life. Hallelujah. I've been set free from death. Amen. I can't die. Hallelujah. I got a wonderful God. Amen. You say, what you been drinking, preacher? I've been drinking from that wine from heaven. It brings the joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation. Amen. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. I got something to be excited about. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm eternal, passed from death unto life. Amen. I can't die. I got something to shout about. Amen. Hallelujah. How you doing on your smoking, Ian? Not good. Okay. Well, let's get rid of that thing before we get you buried. You know, when somebody dies, you bury them. I want to baptize them in Jesus' name. But y'all pray for him that he gets the strength. Amen. Amen. I don't want him, when he meets Jesus, to smell like hell. That's what smoke smells like, ain't it? I love you, Brother Ian. We're going to be trusting and praying for you. Amen. Hang in there. Press your way in. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Ask God to help you, strengthen you. Amen. I'm going to give you a commandment right now. Change your profession. First words came out of your mouth when I met you. Well, I got this problem. I take this medication, this, that. Change your profession. You know what? I'm a son of God. My God is real. Amen. And I'm going to be delivered from all medication. Amen. If he could take and change your mortal body to immortality, he could take you off prescription medications. He could take you off all that stuff, and you could be walking free. Amen. Do you believe that, brother? You need to. Amen. Did I tell you to go throw your medicine away? Absolutely not. I told you to set your faith with God and change your profession first. But when your profession is, man, I've got this problem, I got this disease, I got this, I got that, I got to take medication. That's a bad profession, confession. You can confess that to the preacher and he say, well, let's change that. Let's start professing my God has all power. My God has all authority. My God is alive. He's real. He's a healer. He could take, if I'm bipolar, he could take that bipolar and he could run it as far as east is from the west. If I'm schizophrenic, he could take schizophrenia and he could run it, slap away, away. It don't matter what it is. There's no mental illness in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're sons of God. He gave us a sound mind. Hallelujah. He gave us a sound mind, brethren. A sound mind. Amen. We're in the mind of Jesus Christ and the mind of Revelation. And we speak those things out of existence through profession. I got a sound mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Y'all believe that? You need to profess it and speak it. Don't be one of them grabbing and flabbing people. Oh, yeah. But I mean, believe it in your heart. You could confess or profess it, but not believe it, and it ain't going to do you no good. I've seen people say, oh, I've been healed. They had cancer. I've been healed. Praise God. I've been healed. Amen. And they die of cancer. Their profession never got into their heart. I tried to call a Pentecostal minister, and he was dying of cancer. I said, brother, and I started to try to talk to him, and he said, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. And I was trying to touch faith in his spirit. I was trying to reach down in his spirit to get faith, but he was saying what he wanted me to hear. Oh, brother, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And he was professing the right thing, but I said, it ain't in your spirit. And he died 2 weeks after my conversation with him. I never got the chance to deliver faith. But he had the right thing to say. Oh, I know Jesus is my Savior. Give me another snort. Give me another snort or another joint or another smoke or another whatever. Come on, my Savior gives us all power, all authority. We can put them things under our feet. He saves alcoholics. He saves drug addicts. He saves homosexuals. He saves lesbians, but you don't stay being one. When he saves you, you come out of that. Salvation is not in the world. Salvation is out of the world. Don't forget it. If you're being indoctrinated that you have salvation, it's like the harlot that came in the altars dancing, speaking in tongues up here. Boy, she's a dancing and singing and shouting and speaking in tongues. And she told me back there at the back of the church, she said, I smoke, but God loves me just the way that I am, bold in my face. That was a mistake. God takes me just as I am. He takes you just as you am, but my God is a healer. He's a repairer. He is a reconciler. Amen. He is a Savior, and he'll bring you and give you the power and authority, and you'll no longer be an alcoholic. You can't tell me you're a drunk and you're an alcoholic and you have Christianity. Amen. You were a drunk, but he saved your soul and he brought you out of alcoholism. Amen. And when you smoke and snort and drink and lie, you just ain't been saved yet. You can have the right thing to say. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. Oh, I've accepted Jesus. Man, shut up and get real with him and get born again and get filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in demonstration and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bring forth holiness, amen, because He is the Spirit of holiness. And when He's living in you, ye are holy, amen. And without holiness, you'll never know Him. Well, it don't have nothing to do with the way you dress. Holiness is the work of the heart. Who's been lying to you? He said, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. If it's just invisible in your heart, it don't help them. You bring it to them and you show it to them and you love them with it. Amen. You wrap them. When you're too holy that you can't wrap your arms around the sodomite or the drunkard or whatever, wrap your arms and say, I love you. Jesus loves you. He was looking for you. Amen. He had you on His mind at Calvary. All right, let's sing a song and we'll close. Altars are open this morning. Amen. Can you exalt His name this morning? Can you just lift up the name of Jesus for a moment before we close the service? Can you just lift up His name and praise Him? Oh, Jesus, I love You, Lord God. I'm thankful, Jesus, for what You've done for me. Oh, Lord God, use my life. Use me, Lord God, for Your glory. Take my life, Lord God. Oh, this is all I have to offer. It ain't much, Lord God, but let it be used for You and Your glory. Amen. Come on, saints. Can somebody say, I love You, Jesus? Oh, Lord God, I love You and I thank You, Lord. Oh, praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Talk to your Lord. Tell Him that you appreciate Him. Hallelujah.
God, I exalt.
I love You, Jesus.
I exalt Thee.
Hallelujah. Don't limit an unlimited God. Don't ever say to Him that you can't. He says you can do all things, amen. Don't ever tell Him that you cannot. Thank You, Jesus.
And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I can feel a wonderful presence of my Lord. I can feel His love, His grace, His mercy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.